Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to another episode. This one is very special as it starts to document how Jamaican culture fused new musical forms throughout the world. Not many people know that the person credited with starting hip-hop was a Jamaican. But before I tell you that story, could I ask you to show your appreciation for the show by heading over to iTunes and writing a review. You can also follow us on Twitter, where we are at HowJamaica. And don't forget, you can always log on to the website, which is howjamaicaconqueredtheworld.com, and find out more information on some of the characters and interviewees behind the programme.
How Jamaica Conquered the World is officially endorsed by Jamaica 50.
This is the story of how one small island conquered the world.
Jamaican patois.
And a fair start, Asafa Powell. Usain Bolt is also out well. Here they come down the track. Usain Bolt!
It's a story of music, sport, and style. How its rhythms, athletes, and language went global.
Pull up, pull up!
This is how Jamaica conquered the world.
This is the way we did it in the 70s. There's so many people that say, yo, tell us about the 80s. What is the 70s is what hip-hop is built on, the 70s. If there was no 70s hip-hop, there'd be no hip-hop today. No hip-hop. None, 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 none. Just imagine. No DJs if it wasn't for the 70s. No MCs if it wasn't for the 70s. No graffiti artists if it wasn't for the 70s. No break dancers if it wasn't for the 70s. It's the 70s that matters.
Hip-hop basically started in South Bronx, here in New York, is where it originated. DJ Kool Herc actually, if you really want to take it back, you could say hip-hop started in Jamaica, because DJ Kool Herc, he was a Jamaican.
Also known as Clive Campbell, who grew up in Jamaica, in Kingston, until about the age of 11, when in 1967, he moves to join his mother in the Bronx.
I was in the graffiti scene, you know, like around 69, 70, and we was hitting trains and stuff, you know. Yeah. Tacky was like our god.
Fast forward a few years later, and in 1973, he and his sister Cindy decide to throw a relatively humble but ambitious party in the basement of the apartment building that they're living on.
My sister wanted to give a party and get some extra dollars to go back to school, coming from my junior high school. So she asked me, could I play?
And it ended up being, in its way, quite a success. A lot of people point to this party as really laying the foundation for hip-hop.
What's so significant about 1520 Frederick Avenue is that urban legend goes that Kool Herc, the father of hip-hop, started hip-hop here. Kids from all over the Bronx used to come, travel all the way to the west side of the Bronx to see the playground, to see Kool Herc and his massive sound system.
Kool Herc is godfather of hip-hop. When we say of hip-hop, we mean the whole rim of things, because he did graffiti.
Yeah.
He brought the music, and his crew did the dancing. So when they say he's the godfather of hip-hop, they actually mean he's the godfather of hip-hop.
Oh, my God.
And what's significant about it for me is that Kirk tells the story about quite a savvy bit of translation for his local audience. That he wasn't playing reggae records. No, he was playing funk records, you know, disco records, some of the up-tempo R&B and soul records and so forth that his Bronx peers wanted to hear.
Where we standing right here, this is a historical place in hip-hop. This is like where it all began, pretty much. The godfather of hip-hop, Kool Herc, used to live right here in this building, 1600, and he used to give jams right here in this little park, you know what I'm saying? Plug up to a light pole or get, like, electricity from one of the windows and just play right out here.
And he also talks about, you know, changing his accent, losing his accent, you know, having to, in a way, hide his Jamaicanness at that time, because, you know, Jamaican migrants were still seen as relatively kind of off the boat, country, you know, whatever other derogatory terms, and he felt too marginalized. So he does have quite an interesting bit of self-transformation and self-fashioning, but also refashioning, because what he does that's quite crucial and makes him one of the biggest DJs in the Bronx is that he takes Jamaican sound system style, right? That approach, having really, really big sound, really great speakers, having a very thoughtful and savvy selection, and also having not too much reverence about the actual records. You know, his one of his big breakthrough things was what he ends up later calling the merry-go-round technique.
One night, I went to the record to play out. I said, I wonder if I put that to myself. I said, if they're waiting for this particular break and I have a couple more records that's got the same breakup in it, I wonder how would it be if I put them all together. And I told them, I said, I'm going to try something new tonight. I'm going to call it a merry-go-round.
So he would increasingly sort of isolate and through some fast, but reportedly not all that perfect, you know, cueing, he would extend these breaks for minutes at a time. And so he would essentially also, in the same way that you might hear the sort of rhythm system evolving in the sound systems in Jamaica in the 60s, he was kind of deconstructing and reconstructing these tracks.
The one that set it all off, man, is the looking for a perfect beat is the Apache Incredible Bongo Rock. People was like, oh, whoa. Everybody was like, yeah, I'm feeling this. Oh, yeah, you know.
Party people, can y'all get funky?
The first DJs in the Bronx would spin the records and they would only play the breakdown of the record.
Did here in the United States what the Jamaicans used to do. They used to set up turntables. They used to play records. And then the Jamaican so-called MCs, I don't know if they were MCs back then, basically told.
You know, see, I know niggas in the Bronx, they sparked it up. But, you know, the travel from project to project.
And these were the passages of records that would really get the B-boys, the break boys, the Bronx boys, the break dancers into the dance.
That's the sound of the police.
And then you had other DJs who also happened to be of Caribbean heritage, although not always Jamaican, but guys like Grandmaster Flash, Africa Bambaataa, who started to pick up on some of these techniques and develop them in their own ways and that sort of thing. And that lays the foundation for hip-hop.
And then when the mic came into play as a permanent fixture, you know, along with the DJ, and announcements started being embellished and became more than just, you know,
Well, we're playing here next week. Come see us, you know, into more elaborate phrases and verses.
Reportedly, when Grandmaster Flash was approached first by Sylvia Robinson of Sugar Hill Records to, you know, record for her, he didn't really understand how that would work. He said, wait, you want me to play records on another record? You know, that the whole thing, it just seemed counterintuitive. People thought of hip-hop as a party. You know, hip-hop was a certain way of playing music in a live setting. It took a few enterprising record labels and then the runaway success of Rapper's Delight in 1979. But the sort of foundation of what we today hear as hip-hop really is in that creative engagement with records that Herc was pioneering in the early 70s by way of trying to translate and transmute, you know, basically Jamaican sound system practices for his local peers.
Sha-da-da! I said a hit. The hip to the hip, hip hop, you don't stop the rocket to the bang bang boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet. You see, I am Wonder Mike and I like to say hello. Up to the black, to the white, the red and the brown, the purple and yellow. But first I gotta bang bang the boogie to the boogie. Say up, jump the boogie to the bang bang boogie. Let's rock. You don't stop, rock the rhythm that'll make your body rock. Well, so far you've heard my voice, but I brought two friends along. And next on the mic is my...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.